Hello, welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns, and I'm talking right now to Heather Morning. Hello, Heather.
Hi, John.
Hi. Now, Heather, you're Mountain Safety Advisor with Mountaineering Scotland. Have I got that right?
You have got that right. It's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a first if I got it right, to be honest. Okay. Now, I wanted to bring you on today because I know that you've been looking with the Scottish Government and other bodies at how we might begin to sort of move out of lockdown very gradually and sort of safely. And so who have you kind of been involving in those discussions?
Well, it's been a really big collaborative effort over the last couple of weeks on the lead up to us reaching this phase one stage coming out of lockdown. And we've been working with a group which is called the Mountain Safety Group. And there's about 12 members of the group, including Scottish Mountain Rescue, Police Scotland, Association of Mountaineering Instructors, Mountain Training Scotland, just to name but a few, but also obviously Mountaineering Scotland is the representative body for hill walkers and climbers and mountaineers in Scotland, and we work in collaboration with Sports Scotland as well, and also the Scottish Government. So there's been a huge amount of work going on behind the scenes to work in collaboration with all these parties to try and get the voices of hill walkers, mountaineers and climbers heard, so we're recognised and we can start moving forward and enjoying a little bit more freedom to our activities.
Okay, that's something that I'm sure we're all looking forward to, you know. And what are the key areas, the sort of principles, the four sort of principles that are guiding you in trying to sort of, I suppose, find a route out of what is a very tricky situation?
Well, first of all, you know, we're all hill walkers and climbers ourselves, so we absolutely recognise, you know, the frustrating situation that we've all been in, and also recognise, you know, the value both physically and mentally to our health. So we're fighting very hard to try and you know, start to get the hills and mountains opened up so we can get back to enjoying the hills. But obviously that comes with a certain amount of responsibility. You know, if we all just continue as we did pre-COVID world, then clearly there could be some major issues, and, you know, we could start to, you know, spread the virus again, which is obviously the last thing that people want. So in taking these initial steps, which we can chat about shortly, we're very much obviously supporting the government guidelines, and but also ensuring that people are prepared to go out, because it's been a while since we've all been out there, and we're ensuring, you know, as far as we can, that we're going to be staying safe, because the last thing any of us want is to get into difficulties and have to, you know, call for mountain rescue. And finally, be very considerate. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of sensitivity in the rural populations now. And and understandably, you know, look at the situation on Skye, for example. So, you know, we certainly want to provide some very sound advice to make sure that as we start to enjoy our hill walking activities again, that we don't come into conflict or start to cause concerns for other people who are either working or living on the land.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, almost by definition, outdoor pursuits of hill walking and mountaineering are in rural and remote areas where you're in an area with a pretty fragile community and a sort of an infrastructure. Certainly, obviously, I live in the Highlands, and, you know, one of the concerns that we had was that, you know, we don't have massive resources in terms of our medical services and all that sort of stuff. So if there was a big influx of folk and a massive rise in people infected with the virus, then it would be very difficult for areas like Highland to cope. So one of the principles, I understand, is staying local. And I'm a bit confused about this, because it sort of says that it's 5 miles, but it's an advisory, and you've got a bit of discretion. Seems to be a bit of a grey area there. What do you think to that issue?
Yeah, so phase one and the Scottish government regulations are stating stay local, preferably travel by either walking on your bike, or if you are going to choose to travel by your vehicle, then the criteria they're given is broadly within 5 miles.
Sure.
And the thinking behind this is all about, not spreading the virus to other areas. So, for example, if we were all allowed to just travel wherever we like, we have certain honeypots, don't we? For
Sure,
example,
absolutely,
Ben
yeah.
Lomond, and if we had hundreds of people heading out there tomorrow in this amazing weather, then clearly that's going to be a real pinch point and a potential for the virus to spread. So the thinking behind it is that it's going to keep people fairly local and therefore reduce the spread of the COVID virus at this stage. And we don't know at this stage whether in phase two, when it happens, whether that local rule will be expanded or not.
I just think I just think it says, people use their judgment, and you'll get people who use their judgment, say, well, it says 5 miles, but in my judgment, I'm go 50, I'll be quite safe. That's not really what we're after, is it, I think.
No, it's not. And I think, we have to take responsibility for our actions, don't we? Because they do have an impact on other people, because none of us know if we are, carrying the virus or not unless we've got symptoms. And I think we have a duty as outdoor people to recognize the fact that we've been given a little bit of leeway, and obviously there's some people are going to be able to take advantage of that because they live near the mountains, and others unfortunately aren't. And that's a really tough bag for people at the moment, I think, particularly when we've got such cracking weather.
That's right. So for most folk, and obviously the majority of the Scottish population resides within the central belt. So and there aren't certainly not many mountains within 5 miles of there. So it is a we're still essentially in that limited area, really. And I noticed it also when I looked at the guidelines, it was talking about being prepared and the fact that car parks and toilets and other facilities are going to be closed. What exactly is that about?
Well, again, it's looking at numbers, isn't it? Because if you're planning to say, let's use the example of Ben Lomond again, and places like Balmerhaugh, the car parks are still going to be closed. In fact,
Right.
I understand that the Loch Lomond and Trossachs National Park have issued a statement saying that all their facilities are still going to be closed. So, there'll be no parking in the normal hill walkers car parks, and things like toilet facilities will still be closed. So that starts to cause real issues, doesn't it, if there's a lot of people heading to those areas, because the infrastructure just won't be able to cope with it, and there'll be a lot of conflict of interest.
Yeah, and obviously, I think we've all been caged for quite a while now, and I think the sort of instinct is to rush out and go on as long a walk as you possibly can. But I think one of the principles seems to me also that actually you should stay well within your capabilities and only undertake things that are that are as safe as you can be, so that the possibility of there being an accident or some problem which would bring the need for rescue services to be involved is minimized. Is that have I got that right?
Yeah, yes, you definitely got that right. And thinking, this is, this sort of small step towards, back to our normal world is not a sort of green flag to just be
No.
Yahoo, we can continue as we were. It's exercising just a little more freedom to continue our exercise, that we have been able to do throughout the lockdown. But I think it's really important to say that we try and avoid popular areas, the obvious
Sure.
honeypot areas, so there isn't the conflict with parking, and be very sensible about, you know, not blocking gates and things or blocking roads, and be a bit flexible. You know, if you go somewhere and there's obviously a lot of people there, then have a plan B in mind and go somewhere where there's perhaps, you know, it might not be an iconic venue, but at least it's getting out and about on the hills and enjoying yourself. You know, the Pentlands, for example, down by Edinburgh, I should imagine that, you know, with the new lifting of restrictions, they're going to be extremely popular this weekend. But try and avoid the main sort of, you know, honeypot areas and think out of the box a bit and enjoy some of the more remote parts of the Pentlands that perhaps you haven't explored before.
Okay. And as far as I understand, so in a way, unless you happen to be at the foot of Ben Nevis, living at the foot of Ben Nevis, then in many ways, things have not changed massively. But certainly for rock climbers and for climbers, there's been a little bit of easing to enable them to get out and enjoy their sport. Is that right?
That is right, and we fought long and hard for this because even in the last 24 hours, it looked like potentially it wasn't going to happen, because obviously if you're climbing or bouldering, then you're touching a hard surface, rock. Yes. And, you know, it's been sort of clearly investigated now, hasn't it, that the virus transfers more readily and for longer on from a hard surface. So so under the phase one guidance, then bouldering is an option for people, and also top roping. And those people who are your listeners who are climbers will know what top roping is. But what isn't on the table for people at the moment and is not recommended is kind of going into a big multi-pitch environment where, you know, if you did have an accident, then it's quite a serious, complicated rescue. And clearly the rescue teams are, you know, trying to avoid being put in that situation.
So let's be clear about this. Then bouldering, which is climbing small rocks and where hopefully you can't fall more than a few feet. And then obviously there's top roping, where climbers are protected by a rope from above. And again, obviously the danger of a fall is minimal. I'm picking you up right then that essentially what I would call lead climbing, where someone climbs and places protection above them, but there is a possibility of a fall, that's really still precluded right now. Is that correct?
Yes, the guidance at the moment does preclude that, from both the safety aspect and also the issue of contamination of gear. If someone's leading and their second is taking out those pieces of protection, many of which are metal, then obviously there's a risk of transfer of the virus. Obviously, if you're climbing with someone from the same household, then, you know, that does...
That's minimised a bit.
I think one of the big things that we've seen change with this phase five is, you know, the ability to, you know, if you're lucky enough to live somewhere by a Munro, then, you know, go out to Munro Height and think about it as, you know, recreation rather than adventure, you touched on before.
That's a good point.
You shouldn't be kind of pushing the boat out at this stage. It just should be, you know, well-known routes to you. And, you know, if it's poor weather, then think about your navigation skills.
Right. I did see one point about rock climbing which saying that if you've not rock climbed before, this is probably not a good time to start. Is that right?
Yeah. Hopefully that's, you know, let's hope people use a bit of common sense. Absolutely. Yeah. But the nice thing about this phase one is, you know, we are obviously with the social distancing in place, are able to meet, you know, pals from another household. And I think that brings a little bit of normality, doesn't it, to us all on local walks or hill walks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the problem with rock climbing and certainly the virus is that we just really don't know what the risks are. I mean, because obviously some places, some climbs, some crags can be pretty popular, and some routes can have maybe, well, multiple ascents in one day. And every 20 minutes, someone's popping up the same route. And that means they're touching, almost exactly touching the same places, breathing on the same rock and all that sort of stuff. So we really, I suppose that if amongst the rock climbing community there was to be suddenly a spike, then obviously these regulations, I guess, would have to be looked at again.
Yes, I guess so. And, you know, if we see a spike in, you know, any particular area of our lives, then I think, you know, all of a sudden we'll be taking a step back rather than a step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the strange way of putting it, really, but the indoor aspects of the mountaineering world, the club huts and particularly for my interest, Bothies, places like that, are likely to be closed for some considerable time, I think. There's not much easing there. Well, there's no easing there at all, is there?
No, I mean, the regulations and guidance we see for phase one, you know, gives no indication at all about being able to, you know, be away from home overnight, whether that's, yes, you know, in a, yes, bossy or a club hut or whatever. And I think, you know, we're going to have to start to see things like meeting from multiple households indoors allowed, which I think we're looking at stage three before we, or should I say phase three, before we see, right, that. And clearly, you know, uniting a Bothy is definitely meeting multiple people from different households indoors.
Yes, and obviously the problem with a Bothy is they're mostly fairly small, quite difficult to socially isolate. You don't know who you're going to meet. And again, and hygiene is not that easy when you've not got hot running water and things like that. So the problems about reopening Bothies, I think, are going to persist for quite a while. My personal desire, you see, is to, if I can't go in a Bothy, I'm going to buy a big tent and go and drive somewhere and camp by the side of the road. How far do you think we are from that? From what is generally known as wild camping?
Obviously, a big tent by the side of the road is probably not what I would describe as being an ethos of wild camping. It's kind of something small, putting it on your back and heading out into the hills away from civilization, isn't it? Yeah. And, you know, John, that's a really unanswerable question, I think.
Right, okay.
You know, it's, we're kind of trying to deal with the complexities of this phase one at the moment and have done our best working with all our partners to provide as detailed guidance as we can for phase one. And, you know, we more than anybody are hoping that when we get to phase two, whenever that is, it's going to give us, you know, more freedom, you know, into the hills, and certainly would be great to see more freedom of travel for people as well.
Okay, so I mean, you know, the big question everyone wants me to ask is, and you probably almost certainly can't answer it, but we all want to be able to jump in the car and you know, drive 50 miles at Durham and Rowan and get back in our car and come home. How far away do you think that is? You'd come on the show, you know what I mean?
John, if I could answer that question, I'd be getting paid an awful lot of money than I do now.
Oh, right. Okay. That's a shame. Okay. Perhaps a slightly easier question to answer then. Do you have any vision right now where the next steps might be? I mean, obviously, I know you can't say, and, you know, it very much depends on you know, what happens to the virus, whether as a result of us easing restrictions, it does start to spike again. But all things being equal, if things go as well as we hoped, and there is no sudden regression in terms of the virus spreading, can you give some hints or what's your best guess at where we might go next?
Well, you know, looking ahead to phase two, which is what it'll be, and, you know, hopefully if things go well, then that will be the sort of review in 3 weeks' time. Looking at hopefully meeting up with larger groups, not just, you know, pals from one household. And hopefully, you know, we'd like to see perhaps the restriction on driving lifted, or a bigger radius for that, so it opens up,
right,
you know, the hills for more people. And we'd also, you know, perhaps like to see a bit more of a relaxation on the climbing aspect as well, because that word statistic at this time in life.
Yeah, right.
Some rock climbing is a really low risk activity. The number of incidents involving mountain rescue with summer rock climbing, multi pits in the mountains is tiny. Yeah, absolutely tiny. So, you know, if you're basing the decisions on risk, then, you know, it would be very nice to see some relaxation of that, because it's very unlikely to instigate any problems for rescue teams. And if people are climbing, you know, with their, you know, pal that they live with, or with one other household person, then I would definitely like to see that opened up a bit more and a bit more flexibility on that. But, you know, these are difficult decisions, aren't they? And I think it's we're at that very sort of tentative stage at the moment, where we're all hoping that this goes well and we can move forward in another good step in 3 weeks' time.
Well, that sounds a very good point. So I think it sounds to me as though the door's opening a little bit, and we've got a little bit of hope that in 3 weeks' time, maybe things are going to move on a little bit more. I'm guessing that nights away and that sort of stuff is probably not going to be around in 3 weeks, but we might see it maybe on the horizon at some point, not that far off. Because that's probably completely unfair, but that's what it sounds like to me anyway.
It would be nice to think so, wouldn't it? And certainly if any of your listeners, you know, want any more detail on what we've been chatting about, then they can take a look at all these guidances on the Mountaineering Scotland website. And, you know, we also welcome any comments and feedback. And we're here to try and do our best for the hillwalking and mountaineering community. And, not just for our members, but for everybody who enjoys the outdoors.
Well, thanks very much for all your efforts. I think you've done a great job in just easing that door open for us a little bit, and that's great. Well, I think what the obvious question is, are you happy to come back here in 3 weeks and we can talk about what's been going on?
Hopefully we'll be able to chat about phase two.
Hopefully we will. Okay, Heather, thank you very much for coming on our little podcast, and that was really helpful. I hope to see you in 3 weeks, okay?
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, John.
Bye.
Bye.